We're driving along Arizona's Interstate 8, about 100 kilometers north of the border with Mexico.
We're pulling up to a Border Patrol, I assume, checkpoint. I've driven across the highways here my whole life, and I can't think of a time where I've seen a checkpoint like this on a major interstate highway.
Evening.
How are you today?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good. What country are you a citizen, sir?
USA.
By yourself, sir?
US.
All right, back there?
Canadian.
You got your documents with you?
Yeah.
You put the windows down here, please?
A controversial new state law requires local police to do what federal Border Patrol officers do. Check the documents of anyone they stop who they think might be in the country unauthorized. In this episode of Fault Lines, we take a look at the questions that are fracturing the nation.
Sir?
Okay, I'll go.
Thank you.
What does it mean to be illegal? And what does it mean to be American? At Arizona State Capitol, politicians have passed many laws targeting undocumented immigrants. But this latest, known as Senate Bill 1070, has grabbed attention across the United States. It's a state where more than 30% of the population is Hispanic, and most immigrants come from Mexico and Central America. Critics say the law can't be enforced without racial profiling.
It's destroying this nation. I mean, you can't have this kind of invasion, and it's an invasion.
State Senator Russell Pierce sponsored the bill.
What's at stake?
What's coming across that border today are gang members, drug smugglers, human smugglers, child molesters, rapists, and people looking for a better way of life, but destroying what's, you know, the jobs for Americans.
Signed into law at the end of April, SB 1070 was designed to make life unlivable for Arizona's some 500,000 undocumented people. It makes it illegal for unauthorized immigrants to solicit work, bans sanctuary cities, and makes being in the country without authorization a state crime. Advocates like Pierce say they're just enforcing what's already federal law.
You know, there is no place for hate in this debate. It hurts everybody. This is about the rule of law. And like I tell people, we must enforce the law with compassion, but without apology. When I say compassion, I mean no name calling. We don't need to be out there, and we're not out there chaining people to walls and fences and putting them in concentration camps. We give them a ride back home.
White colonists passed more anti-slavery legislation, and Great Britain turned them down.
A rally on the Capitol lawn, wrapping up an immigration summit hosted by Pierce.
That they're using our Latino brothers and sisters like a pimp used a prostitute.
SB 1070 has been the target of at least 6 lawsuits, many charging that it cannot be enforced without racial profiling. The Obama administration has also challenged the law, arguing that it usurps federal authority over immigration. An Arizona district judge sent the matter to a higher court after blocking the most controversial parts just as the law was set to go into effect. So the Tea Party movement has called on patriots to stand with Arizona against the politicians in D.C. that they deride. Ironically, D.C.-based anti-immigrant organizations are sponsoring this protest. Among them, FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which takes credit for having helped draft SB 1070.
White president did all of these things in 1 year, they would have ran him out of town.
They're keen to show that their stance on illegal immigration is supported by African Americans, and by extension, can't be racist or result in racial profiling.
From foreign and domestic enemies.
A number of African American speakers here.
Domestic enemy in our house.
But almost an entirely white crowd.
Stand up as Americans, call your legislators.
Will you explain your sign to us?
That's the word. That's what the definition is.
So anyone who breaks the law is illegal?
No. It says a foreigner.
Only a foreigner.
Can you read? A foreigner who has entered or resides in a country unlawfully or without the country's authorization.
I'm a nurse, okay? I take care of patients, and they'll say to me, ¿Habla español? No, I speak English. This is America. Do you want me to take care of you? Speak the English language. It's plain and simple.
Arizona's Tea Party politicians are already launching their next campaign, reinterpreting the Constitution's 14th Amendment, which grants citizenship to every baby born in the United States so that it doesn't apply to children of undocumented immigrants. Their base has heard the message.
They come across the border pregnant to beat all bad, and they have their babies in our hospitals. Who pays for it? We do.
Proud to be an American!
But how did you get your citizenship?
I was born here. I was born
in
Hawaii.
Just like the babies you're talking about.
Yeah, but if the parents want their babies, they need to take them back with them and do things the right way. I'm tired of supporting them. My money pays for their hospital stays, their welfare checks. I've seen them drive brand new cars, wearing diamond rings, using food stamps.
If you get past the anger, what's interesting is it's really easy to see how these people feel victimized, as if the immigrants are taking something from them.
Ladies and gentlemen, the senator from the great state of Arizona, Russell Pierce.
Illegal is not a race, it's a crime.
Pierce drives the message home again.
We've taken the handcuffs off of law enforcement. You can arrest as many as you can get in the car.
And takes the opportunity to make his endorsement for the Republican primaries.
Right. Anyway, if I could have you guys, J.D.
J.D. Hayworth was vying for U.S. Senate candidacy against four-time senator and former presidential hopeful John McCain.
I don't see John McCain here anymore.
I want you to know that I endorse John David Hayworth for the United States Senate.
Hayworth lost the primaries, but only after McCain outspent him by $17 million. And his challenge was a kind of victory for the Tea Party. McCain, long considered a moderate on immigration, adopted their tough on illegals talk, endorsing SB 1070, disavowing a previous immigration reform effort that would have legalized some undocumented workers, and backing the building of the border fence.
And complete the dang fence.
It'll work this time.
We caught Hayworth on a campaign stop in a retirement community west of Phoenix.
In many ways, what SB 1070 tries to do here in Arizona, my Enforcement First Act would do for the entire country.
So what would you do with the 11 to 20 million illegal immigrants that are in the U.S.?
I guess the best way to describe it is attrition through enforcement. Once you enforce the laws, people start obeying the laws, and they say, well, gee, maybe it's not in my self-interest to stay here.
Like Pierce, Hayworth denies that the logic behind SB 1070 is racist.
The question is not ethnicity. The question is economic, with, in essence, a hidden tax on every Arizonan that, when I wrote a book 4 years ago, was about $700-some for every legal Arizonan.
The idea is, if I don't name it, then it can't be about that, right? So here are a group of people saying, We don't care about race. This is about legality. But you look at who gets arrested. You look at the implications of everything they're saying, and it's deeply divided by race.
Luis Fernandez is a professor of criminology at Northern Arizona University.
When it comes to immigration, one of the things that is the most incredible to me is the number of myths around immigration. And there's at least a 30-year history of scholarly work that shows that immigrants commit fewer crimes than the general population. And an individual, as undocumented, actually pays more taxes than it takes out.
But some 70% of Arizona voters say they approve of the law. Across the rest of the country, some 60% of voters say they do too.
This is a moral panic. It's not about data. It's not about information. It doesn't matter what the reality is. It's what the perception is. So if I can convince you that this is a really scary place, that undocumented people take money out of our coffers, that they will murder you and come into your homes and steal your kids, if I can convince you of all that, then it becomes real.
There are real signs of distress here. Arizonans were hit hard when the housing bubble burst. The Phoenix area has one of the top 10 foreclosure rates in the United States. Real estate values have plummeted, and construction, one of the state's main employers, is still shedding jobs. After years of obstinate tax cutting, the Arizona legislature is projecting a deficit of at least $1 billion and has already slashed school days, state health coverage, and funding for state parks. With their economy in crisis, people want to know why they're in pain, and their politicians have an easy scapegoat.
So they're telling people, the economy's collapsing, we're losing our jobs, our home values have dropped, you know, 40-50% in some areas, you're hurting, you're really terrible. But you know what's really dangerous is these people. Because if we solve this issue, we solve all the issues. So come with me.
Arizona Republicans say they've had to solve the state's immigration problems themselves because the Obama administration has failed to secure the border or fix a broken immigration system. We took the question to Washington to an Arizona congressman, a Democrat.
Has the Obama administration done enough with this?
No, they haven't done enough. I mean, Congress hasn't done enough. And the fact that the vacuum of non-action on reforming outdated and broken immigration law, that needs to be fixed. That's why we have this crisis.
But Raul Grijalva is a fierce critic of SB 1070. When the bill was signed into law, he protested, telling organizations not to bring their conventions and their business to Arizona.
Passing a law that is punitive and not a remedy. It doesn't solve the immigration issue. It doesn't make the border any more secure. It doesn't provide a legal pathway to legalization for people that are here. It doesn't reunify families. It doesn't do any of that. It's a punitive law. The only vacuum it fills is to make this issue more divisive and uglier going into these midterms elections.
Across Arizona, a resistance movement is rising. An unintended effect of SB 1070.
El pueblo unido jamás será vencido.
Coalitions of Latino and immigration justice groups have come together to defend their communities in the streets and in the courts.
Civil rights and social justice for all people.
On the July day the law was to go into effect, hundreds of people gathered in downtown Phoenix.
¡Que viva México!
Some from as far away as California and Florida.
Over 20 different states are considering laws similar to SB 1070. As they're doing that, we've talked to people who have traveled here from all over the country to figure out how to stop those kind of laws before they happen.
When I say people, you say power. People, power!
Protesters are targeting Joe Arpaio, the Maricopa County Sheriff, whose rise to infamy has been fueled by his highly publicized roundups of undocumented immigrants.
Wells Fargo Bank building, that's where Sheriff Arpaio's office is.
Arrest Arpaio! Arrest Arpaio!
To demonstrators, his crime sweeps are proof of what will happen across the state if SB 1070 is fully implemented. In 2007, a federal program known as 287G gave Arpaio sheriffs the authority to ask for papers and detain undocumented migrants without criminal charge.
Tell me what a police state looks like!
More than 26,000 people have been deported as a result.
The protesters poured into the street and the cops have showed up in force and in riot gear.
A few protesters refused to clear the streets and are arrested. A symbolic refusal to comply with the new law.
Hey, the police have taken over the street here, but protests are sparking around the city. We've heard of where there's another demonstration, and we're headed there now.
At Arpaio's jail, protesters have locked their arms together to block the entrance.
We're locked in here.
Why?
Because we don't want Arpaio locking up any more of our people.
To what extent are you willing to go?
Whatever it takes.
Last year, the Department of Homeland Security curtailed the sheriff's 287G powers and put him under investigation for racial profiling.
3 years. I don't need this for national attention.
But Arpaio has continued his sweeps, scheduling one today and calling the media down to headquarters.
Every day they call me a racist, Nazi, Hitler. Let them call me. I don't worry about it. I'm not a racist. I'm doing my job.
Are today's sweeps meant to be time for the media being here?
No, I'm not here for the media. I'm here to send a message on this law. I was going to enforce it no matter how it went. I keep my promise. And I'm sending a message out today that I'm going to enforce all the laws, and I'm still going to enforce the laws and not let some decision deter me.
SB 1070 is casting a shadow over many undocumented immigrants who already live in fear of Arpaio's operations.
I'm just scared they're going to stop me one day and they're going to ask me for papers.
22-year-old Elizabeth Leon's life has been constricted to her family's bungalow on the west side of Phoenix.
I can work. There's no jobs for me right now. I look everywhere and still I can't find any jobs because I don't have a social security number. And if I don't have no job, I can go to school because I can afford my education.
SB 1070 is just the latest law passed in the Arizona legislature's war of attrition on undocumented people. In 2007, Proposition 300 made it illegal for undocumented students to receive state funding. An honor student, Elizabeth's scholarships were revoked, and she suddenly faced much higher out-of-state tuition fees.
I'm down trying to look for opportunities, trying to work hard, and people just don't seem to understand that the only thing that I'm asking is for them to give me the opportunity to study.
She cut her course load in half, but without work, even that now costs too much.
We've been here for 11 years, and it's really painful for us not to be able to live our lives.
I guess what I would say is the first thing we need to do as a country is secure our border and put the resources down there that we need to do to actually secure it. Whether
the chief of police of Tucson calls himself a conservative, a law and order kind of guy, but he's become an unexpected ally to opponents of SB 1070.
I'm against this law because it's not the responsibility of local law enforcement. I think it divides us from our community.
Does it seem like Washington's doing enough on this issue?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
If anything that I will give credit to SB 1070 for, and who knows, maybe this was the ultimate goal of the people involved with it. They have brought this issue to the forefront where it belongs. We can no longer as a country hide our head in the sand about immigration.
And do not be mistaken by the slogan that is now stated everywhere that Arizona acted because the federal government did not. It's the exact opposite. Arizona acted because the federal government acted.
Migration from Mexico to the U.S. rose rapidly in the mid-90s as the North American Free Trade Agreement was implemented. In 1996, the Clinton administration enacted new immigration legislation. It included Article 287G.
At the time, politicians were running on campaign slogans saying that NAFTA would solve all the immigration issues. And in fact, they now concede that it has only created about 6 million economic refugees from Mexico alone, just from agriculture.
Over the next decade, the U.S. government built walls, high-tech fences, and checkpoints, and multiplied the number of Border Patrol agents. Border control was concentrated around urban crossings in Texas and California, funneling migrants through the southern Arizona desert. But instead of being deterred by the harsh landscape, many risked their lives, and continue to. Since January of this year, more than 150 people have been found dead in the desert.
For us, other than, you know, this militarization that's resulting on the deaths, the really most devastating action has been the 287G, because it has given an okay and an approval to the meshing and the collaboration of federal immigration agents, Border Patrol, ICE, Customs, whatever agency, and local law enforcement.
Across the border in Nogales, Mexico, we visit a soup kitchen run by Jesuit priests and human rights activists. Twice a day, they serve meals to people who find themselves in this tough town after being deported. It's here that we meet 20-year-old Angel Galindo.
I grew up on basically like an American, you know. I know nothing about Mexico.
The day after SB 1070 went into effect, without the provisions critics warned would lead to racial profiling, a police officer stopped Angel on a Phoenix street.
I asked why I was being interrogated, why I was being pulled over. He just simply told me I looked like somebody they're looking for. I wasn't who they were looking for, and I still ended up here.
Angel was only 3 months old when his mother brought him to the U.S. He didn't realize he was undocumented until high school, when he tried to get a job. Applying for citizenship then would have meant moving back to Mexico without graduating. His mother said no. Now his wife, a citizen, is 8 months pregnant, and he has his own parenting decisions to make.
I kind of want to risk going back because, I mean, for my baby. My wife says she'll come out here, but I just want best for my kid, and Mexico is not what's best for him.
I'm headed to the border, go back into the United States. I can do that because I have a passport. But Angel, who like me grew up his whole life in the U.S., spends another night in Nogales.
So Angel waits in a kind of limbo. Arizona Republicans and Tea Party patriots often accuse Obama of supporting amnesty and open borders. But deportations have risen since Obama took office. Federal agents plan to deport around 400,000 people this year, 25% more than under the Bush administration in 2007.
It's sad because I'm American by heart, but being out there, I feel not wanted. But being out here, I don't feel part of this. So it's like, I'm not wanted there, I don't feel part of here. I really don't know where I'm at right now.
We don't have any dreams. People's dreams, I believe they're dying.
I do sense a growing anti-Hispanic feeling in the community and across the nation. And that scares me for my kids.
It's midterm election season in the United States. As the Republican Party's right-wing fans anti-immigrant flames, and Democrats carefully avoid the issue, 11 million undocumented people living in the country are unlikely to be offered a path to citizenship anytime soon. And in this season of fear, politicians and voters alike may be overlooking something greater than a political contest hanging in the balance.
So what's at stake is who we are, really, who we are as a country. How are we going to continue as a neighbor in this hemisphere?
How do we exist in a global world where things move, people are in major flux? What does it mean? I mean, who has the right to move? Who doesn't have the right to move? Who has the right to be stopped? Who doesn't have the right to be stopped? Who has the right to live, love, and work, you know, in a particular location? Who has those rights and who doesn't?